Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 551. We are back for a new week. My name is James Gilmore and joining me today is Matthew Ford.
Hello.
You may have noticed a bit of silence on the old RSS feed. Do they still exist? I'm sure they do. Recently, because as we warned on the last podcast, busy things were happening. So obviously we had our latest streamy event, Launchpad number 4, happened, which was very good and nice. There's also been, you know, conferences. Things have been happening, basically.
It's all happening. E3's basically started this week.
Yeah, kind of has. So what we'll be doing today is a nice big catch-up over the last few weeks of good and new things. And I thought, like, oh, maybe it'll be a quiet week so we can dive into the past 2 weeks. No, they've decided Valve's making things very difficult for us, and Capcom's dropping Devil May Cry stuff all over the place, and we're going to be playing this podcast without you even have to press a button. We'll be playing it on 1.5 speed or 2x speed. I can't do that. Do you ever listen to those?
No, they're crazy, those people. I don't know how they do it. Like,
I think it's, if you do that, you are a sociopath. I'm sorry. And it's the same thing. Like, there was a talk of, like, we'll add it to Netflix and we'll double the speed. Like, you are insane, right? That's, I understand it if all you're looking to do is consume information as fast as possible. But in terms of robbing the joy out of anything, that's a surefire way to do it. So,
no, I need to slow things down, if anything. God, I don't exactly need to speed them up.
We speak fast enough as it is. So, we will rattle through in double quick time, talk about Valve's potential new mobile gaming platform. We're going to show you the new Devil May Cry game that's coming for mobile, a little bit of Metal Slug information, a remake on the way there, Legends of Kingdom Rush, which we have revealed exclusively, and we're going to talk a little bit about, and I'm sure Matt will say something about some Sonic things, won't you, Matt?
I will.
We cannot stop him. And new releases, including the likes of Hunt Down, Divinity Original Sin 2, I think, Bite Baron 2, Samurost 1, and more. But first, the news. Valve is back into the potential new hardware market. They've had their Steam Link. They've been trying to get their PC games into your lounge for a long time. Steam Link didn't really take off.
It was a thing.
It happened. It came.
People enjoy it.
Sort of went with their Steam controller, and I think people were like, I didn't really catch on. However, it does look like they're dipping their toe into the world of mobile. They appear to want to do their own Switch, a thing that plays console games but portably and on the move. Now, this is a bit of a convoluted one, this, isn't it? Because the way that we've got this information is from a change to the database, buried deep in Steam background information stuff.
Yes. So there was a report from ARS Technica that's been going around, and they seem to have some sources that they've been aware that this was on the cards. And then last week, this source code or whatever went into Steam, and they were like, right, that's pretty much confirmed it. Let's run something.
Yeah. So the latest client beta, they said, from the previously known Neptune controller, now includes the words Steam Pal and Steam Pal Games. And this code is within it referring to stuff like a quick access menu, a power menu, which is suggesting console interface business. And the Neptune name has been touted for a little while. And like you said, other people have kind of confirmed that this is a thing that's happening. So the information we've got at the moment from the sources say it's going to run on Linux, it's going to use an AMD or Intel processor. It doesn't really narrow it down.
And, I mean, that's it, isn't it, really?
Exactly. And apparently you're going to be able to dock it into a larger display, like a TV or monitor, i.e. it's going to work like a Switch works with a dock in it. The thing about this, right, is, as we always say, the only people to ever truly get portable consoles right has been Nintendo, consistently. They're the only people to make a good business model out of it. Others have tried. Sony has tried and done a couple, and they've sort of worked, and then sort of maybe not worked with the Vita so well.
Rest in peace, Vita, yeah.
RIP. And I'm not talking about the quality. I'm talking about it catching on and doing well enough to be supported.
Yeah, sales, finance, everything.
That's the thing to get working. And nobody else has really managed to crack it. And like I say, the Steam Link option didn't really take off. Maybe Valve are now thinking, like, hey, people are accustomed to the idea of this sort of thing. They really embrace the Switch, and maybe they're more open to this sort of dual, hey, it's a portable console and you plug it in. My concern here is that this is going to be the same problem of, you're going to have to play the mobile though, aren't you? You're going to be taking your Steam library and trying to play it mobile effectively without optimization for mobile gameplay. And what you're going to have, possibly, it'll be controller only, or depends on the controls they have at the side.
I suppose they've got, like, Joy-Con controllers attached to it, but yep, they don't, like, dock off or whatever, yeah.
No, presumably that's what they are doing, but the problem is always going to be for me, like, this stuff isn't going to be optimized for a small screen. All PC games are not optimized to be played on a little, small, portable screen. They're optimized to be played on a monitor that's probably at least, like, you know, 20, 24 inches. And we've seen what happens when you port, just when you just dump a PC game onto mobile, it doesn't.
Oh, yes. Not the best. Well.
So they're going to need to find a way to make that work. The other thing people are talking about is the price tag, because if it is going to be a powerful standalone, basically it's going to be a portable PC to be able to run the Steam library. And as we've pointed out in the article here, one, we've already got a thing that exists, which is basically like a portable PC, and it's called the One X Player that was released recently. That was released at $899.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's never going to catch on, is it?
Because, you know, you're talking about like a gaming laptop, but it's in a console format, and those things aren't cheap. So when you compare that to, you know, like $200-$300 for a Switch, that's a very different proposition. I don't want to doom it ahead of time, but I am not optimistic.
I think it always depends on the games. I mean, are Valve actually going to create exclusive games for this Steam machine, whatever it is? You know, imagine if they said, oh, Half-Life 3. Like, that would probably shift a few units. I mean, there'd be probably massive outrage that it's handheld and that sort of thing, but...
Like they did with the VR exclusive Alex game.
Yeah, Alex and everything.
It's a new Half-Life game, but you can't play it.
Yeah, it's always... I think it's so much depends on the games at the end of the day. They do make quality games, they do make quality products, you know, and, you know, Steam has a massive user base. I can understand why they'd want to take a chunk of this market. As we said, Nintendo have such a grasp on it. I think it's just a wait and see thing. It's you know, potentially a late 2021 release, so next few weeks maybe with E3.
They apparently, yeah, are going to be revealing more details later on. Let's see if it remains the Steam Pal. I think that sounds incredibly quaint.
It's not catchy.
Just going to get my Steam Pal out of the cupboard. Right, so let's talk about some software a little bit. I'm going to rattle through a few things here. Capcom has revealed Devil May Cry Peak of Combat. It's going to be going to China next month, 11th of June to be precise. And firing it up, this gave me the big old warm nostalgia buzz, because looking at the trailer, it's very Devil May Cry 1 and 2, that era, the early PlayStation ones, more so than the DMC, you know, remake stuff, or even 5.
The latest ones. Yeah, it's been on a bit of a resurgence at the minute.
Yeah, and like I really liked 1 and 2, particularly. 2 is a beast of a game. And this looks and feels a little bit more like that, as in back inside big old gothic church-like architecture and smashing the crap, and he's got his big red cape back, and it's a blast from the past. But this looks quite console quality-ish, and I think that it's been designed specifically like for iPads, with iPads in mind, and with the mind that you're going to be using a controller with it. It's all demoed with the is it still called the DualShock? What's the new one called? DualShock 4, 5?
DualSense,
sorry, yeah. It's being demoed with those, so the new Sony controller, because obviously a part of the whole, like, new Apple, we're all relaxed and groovy now, is that they've allowed other controllers to be compatible. So they really are now doing a little run of games. I've seen a bunch of them where they're like, hey, play this with the controllers. Controllers work on, you know, it's like almost having a portable console. You like Switches, right? So I feel like they're trying to get people in that way. And this is one way of doing it with a game that is an exclusive. It looks like another Devil May Cry game, but you can only get it on an iPad.
Yeah, it does look quality from the trailer as well. It does look like, you know, it's got a good budget behind it. It doesn't look like a cheap port or anything like that. It looks like they've put some money into it.
And if it does look and feel good, that's wonderful. I have yet to play it, and we're not going to play it for a little while because we haven't got a Western release date yet. At the moment, it's just China on the 11th, and we're obviously going to have to hang 10 and see whether they bring it over and how soon. But I'd like to give it a go just to see how it feels. And also, talking about taking old franchises and dressing them up a bit, Timmy Studios is doing a Metal Slug mobile game.
So these are the guys behind Call of Duty Mobile. They're doing Pokemon Unite, the MOBA, coming up.
Ah, are they?
Yeah, so they've been very busy.
Okay. Well, in this case, they've taken a 16-bit arcade classic. Metal Slug is phenomenal. And they've turned it into more like a 2.5D looking. It's that classic thing when people take and up-res a side-scroller, like that DuckTales game that they did Remember DuckTales, where they did a re-release of that about like 4 or 5 years ago, and they made it all kind of like quasi 3D and round edges and all that, which is obviously more in keeping with the modern aesthetic. It is not really in keeping with the Metal Slug aesthetic, and those games are so specific with the way they look. I'm not sure I love the look of it.
No, it doesn't seem as memorable as the original Metal Slug aesthetic as well, as you say. Like, so many games have had this 2.5D thrust upon it, as you say. Like, yeah. I remember, wasn't Mega Man one of the first ones to get it years and years ago?
It got blipped. And to be clear, like, I think they've actually done this well. It looks nice, but it looks like, oh, it's one of those standard modern 2.5D side-scrollers now.
It looks more generic, I think.
Yeah, whereas Metal Slug has such a specific look. The animation is very specific as well, and this is a, like, I'm perfectly for this. They should do it, and I'm looking forward to playing it, but this is probably me being an old man and being like, the original is such a kind of design classic that when you completely change the look, it really is like you're tampering with the very essence of what this game is. So, interesting. This is an OG game, though. This isn't like a remake, or they haven't reskinned the original Metal Slug or anything.
Okay,
this is
a new
thing.
Yeah. Depends how it plays at the end of the day. That's always the big thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a beta video. You can see it up on Pocket Gamer at the moment if you want to give it a quick look. Now, I mentioned that we'd done Launchpad. You can obviously see the two Launchpad streams that are up on the Pocket Gamer channel at the minute. They were really good fun, lots of exclusives, and I had a nice time with people. But one of the things that was launched that I got very excited about, or that was revealed properly, is a new Kingdom Rush game. I like Kingdom Rush, Matthew. Kingdom Rush is very good.
Yeah, very good, tell me more.
So traditionally a tower defense game, and that's what it's been for the whole series, developed by Ironhide Studios, I think is the name of them. They've kept it as a tower defense game. They did one offshoot called Iron Marines, which was kind of an RTS game that had nothing to do with it. And now they've returned with Legends of Kingdom Rush, which is a Kingdom Rush flavored RTS game based in a kind of hex environment. So it's not quite as free roaming as Iron Marines was, but it's all the same sort of character style. It's all the same art. It's a bit roguelikey, so you're generating the worlds, and they're different every time you play through. But the gameplay-wise, the mechanics, real-time strategy business, it looks lovely. I want to play it immediately, and I'm happy they've done a little deviation, because we've already had like three and a half of those tower defense games, and I feel like they've told the story they need to tell.
It's time to do something new.
Yeah, I'm not like bitter that they've gone off and done something else. I think this could be very positive. And I really liked Iron Marines. They can do RTS. They've already proved. So it's nice to see them branch out a little bit. Have you played any of them at all?
I haven't, no. But this might be the time. I've seen it's coming to Apple Arcade as well.
Yes, Apple Arcade exclusive. You're absolutely right. And the other one's available for like all mobile, Android, everything. I'd really recommend picking up at least one of them and just giving them a bash. Because if you like tower defense at all, they are fantastic examples of the genre. And they're fun and colourful, and they're very, you know, they are very mobile focused and mobile friendly, more so than some of the like really grey sci-fi ones. These pop on a little screen. So Good. Yeah.
Speaking to me, I'll have to check it out.
Speaking of popping on screens with bright colours, let's do some stuff about Sonic.
Because
there was a whole Sonic thing, wasn't there?
It was a Sonic Direct, of all things.
This is your
Central.
Dream.
Yes, I was over the moon to hear this announcement. You know, it's the 30th anniversary of Sonic the Hedgehog this year, and I think it was last year, or was it start of this year? It was basically in the COVID era, everything's a blur. They announced Sega that they'd be doing a big announcement every month, and I think it was for 2020, and then they just stopped, and nothing was announced.
Oh.
The anniversary is not until June 23rd, I think. Lots of content coming to mobile games. They're doing pirate-themed party event, which is coming to Sonic Dash, where you can unlock Pirate, Sonic, and Captain Shadow. So,
okay.
Yeah, I've got you there already, I can tell. you've got Sonic Forces, which will introduce Super Sonic to the game, and a limited-time party mode to race against friends. Mm-hmm. And the Werehog from Sonic Unleashed will also be added to Sonic Forces and Sonic Dash around Halloween.
God. The Werehog was one of the dumbest things, man. No. Like, in terms of the design choices, like, no. A, It's not a werehog, because that doesn't mean what you think it means, because it should be, he's already a half creature talking. That's not the way you put the animal. Werewolf is the way, no, it's, this is also stupid.
Sonic Unleashed is one of my favorite games, so I defend it so bad. Look, I get it.
Now, I know they're going to be throwing in a lot of stuff, because I sometimes forget, like, you're listing games there, just how many games, Sonic games there are on mobile. There is a ton of these things.
Sonic Racing and Apple Arcade as well, yeah.
Yeah, which is a really good one, actually, to be fair. Yep, like, that's one of the good ones. Have they revealed anything like a new game, for example?
So no new mobile games as such, but we have got a Sonic Colors remaster. Sonic Colors Ultimate. This debuted as an exclusive on the Nintendo Wii in 2010. Mm. And this is coming to all consoles and PC. So that is Switch. And that is a fantastic little game. It's not a long game by any stretch of the imagination. It's like 6 hours to complete the story and maybe 15 to do everything.
Okay.
But it's a actually good Sonic game. And I can legitimately say that. It's bright, poppy, as you say. It's got a good soundtrack. They all have good soundtracks, but it's got the great boost mechanic behind it. I loved it. I'm very excited to see it in HD and at 60 frames per second, because the Wii didn't have any of that. So that's great.
Right,
That arrives September 7th this year.
Okay.
But on top of that, so we also got a couple animation projects. So there's a Sonic Colors Rise of the Wisps. So it's a two-part animated miniseries set in the world of Sonic Colors. So we get part one of that in the summer. And then also, we got a little bit on Sonic Prime. Have you heard of this? This is the Netflix
Sonic
show.
Prime? Is this some kind of Transformers crossover?
No, it's a Netflix show, ironically.
All this stuff I ignore so deliberately, because the absolute worst aspect of Sonic is every time he opens his stupid mouth. So, and all of this extra media, all of this transmedia business, we made a cartoon. Oh, good. I won't ever watch that, because it's going to be him talking. And hey, he's so, his whole vibe, his, like, the whole bit, he is so Poochie from The Simpsons. He is just like that. Yeah. He is so, like, backwards baseball cap, like that awkward fake cool. And he's basically just like a walking meme in the new movie. And like I said,
100%. They embrace it, though, which I sort of love.
I mean, I guess it appeals if you're a hyperactive 8-year-old, but, like, other than that, no, I cannot.
Did you ever see this? Well, I doubt you will have done, but so this is a stupid question. But there was the Sonic Boom animated show.
I saw a little, as in I saw, like, trailers or something.
That's, like, really good. It's, like, both for adults and kids. It's very, very well written. That's something I will defend.
I'm sure the audience can hear the expression that I'm making right now.
It ended on a brief teaser for the next big Sonic game. So we got a barely 20-second clip of Sonic running through a forest. You don't even see his face, so I think they've redesigned him in some way. Probably going to be a 3D game. It's definitely going to be a 3D game. So he runs through the forest and a mysterious symbol goes to the screen that sort of says zap, but it also might just be a random symbol thing that we don't know what it means. And then there's a 2022, and it's like, and coming to all platforms, basically.
So it'll be a Switch thing that we're expecting.
Yeah, it's coming to Switch, it is. Yeah, and it's sort of got leaked that it's going to be called Sonic Rangers. So people sort of discovered it in data, and then Sega sent out a press release to journalists, and in it, it mentions Sonic Rangers.
Okay.
So they've sort of dropped the ball on that one. But excited to see more, but...
Okay. Let me know when they make Sonic good again, Matt. It may be cheap. That's stuff of being incredibly accurate.
Sonic Mania is good. There you go.
Yeah, but how do they make it good? They went and did the same thing from 1991. That's how they made it good. By making it old. So, yeah, that's the lesson to learn. Whenever someone says, and Sonic's in 3D, it's like, is it? Oh, that's a shame. It's really bad, isn't it? Oh, well. Out and about this week, we'll start with something that actually came out this week, Hunt Down, which is a side-scrolling shoot-em-up from... you did make this.
Coffee Stain.
There you go. 80s-inspired sci-fi blaster business, iOS and Android. It is a premium game, but you can download it for free, play the little trailer, and then it unlocks at about $8, $9. It's a port of the... It was already been out on PS4 and Xbox, I think. Maybe
yeah, and
PC.
On Steam.
Yeah, there you go. So it's been out for a little while. But we played this a few launch pads ago. and it handles really nicely. This is one of these things where they've got the nice 16-bit art style. You've got your cyberpunk running around all over the place business. Yes, you can use swords and guns and all the rest of it. The mobile focus controls are sort of quite simple for touchscreen. I know you've played this as well.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of nice mechanics where beyond just the shooting and running and jumping, you can slip into the background.
Yes.
So there are these little spaces which are like shadows as you're walking through alleyways.
Like garages and
stuff like that. Yeah, like doorways. And you can kind of press the up or whatever button it is and you kind of swoosh back and become invisible. And then you can sneak along and then emerge again. I've seen it used in a few platformers and it's done to nice effect. Good animation. They do the nostalgia stuff that, you know, you know what it is. It's doing 80s nostalgia, isn't it? Oh, look, it's like Escape from New York or whatever.
Hey, I'm an easy audience. It worked well.
Yeah, but it's doing all that stuff that you want. It's Blade Runner and it's, you know, every John Carpenter film. It's fine. It works well. The thing I was most relieved about was that, to me, I felt it handled okay.
Yes.
How did you find the control side of it?
No, same. A lot of games I find struggle with touch controls, and I often have to go for a controller or, you know, attachments or anything like that. But no, this was very slick, I thought. A good difficulty curve. I didn't think it was too difficult, but it wasn't, you know, it found
it's
the right balance.
It's not a cakewalk either. No.
Yes, exactly. It found the right balance. Can I ask, who did you pick? Because there's three characters. There's Anaconda, Mo Man, and John Sawyer.
Well, obviously I chose Anaconda because you give me a pun of that premiere level, I got to go for it. Plus, I'm always the chick. But yeah, Anaconda, of course. That's the way to do.
I went for Mo Man, the robot or android, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got the trench coat. He's got the Michael Bane from Terminator trench coat.
Nice. The cutscene was cool. I was wondering, like, I imagine it was the same sort of dialogue because I noticed it straight away. They were like, huh, I knew you would say that. It was stuff like that where I'm like, right, this is meant for like every other character.
Right, yes. It's the generic catch-all phrase.
Yes.
So 20 levels that you're blasting through. You can see reviews of these because obviously the game's been out for a while, but we are basically here to tell you that it's out, you can try it out for free, and that, in our opinion, controls work nicely. So even if you don't have an MFI or an Xbox controller lying about, you'll still be able to play this and feel comfortable.
Mm.
So
worth your time.
Yeah, totally. Hunt Down is the name of that one. The other thing I've had a chance to play is Samorost 1, which is from Amanita Design, which are one of my favorite like point-and-click style puzzle game makers. These are the guys behind Machinarium and Botanicula and all that business. Before they did Machinarium, which is the thing that popped up on my radar, they did these games called Samorost series. And it's the same style, but it's like going back and seeing their origins. And they have released, I think, the first three games now, but certainly the first one, like, in HD on touchscreens on mobile. And are you watching the trailer and going,
yeah,
what?
I'm very, very
what the hell?
Confused. It's very bizarre.
It's very bizarre. So it's that same art style. Machinarium was like a little robot wandering around a kind of trash city. Botanicula was all weird plants and animals and that. This is out in space. So there are these little space creatures which live on a little mossy planet rock thing. And there's it looks like a heart, in fact.
Mm.
And there's what looks like a big asteroid coming flying, and there's going to be a collision. And now you've got to stop the collision by taking control of this little, he looks like a little gnome wearing a little like jester's hat almost in white. And he starts off by skiing down a hill and you have to move people out of the way. And it's very odd. It's even more surreal than perhaps something like Machinarium and requires even more like, okay, so if I push this and then rub this against that and then pull this lever that activates this pulley system that kicks a cat up the ass, which sends the cat rocketing down, and the cat jumps on the mouse and the mouse explodes because the mouse just ate some dynamite and now the door's open. That kind of logic. And you have to embrace it. You have to lean into the weird of it all. But if you do, they are charming as hell. And I think free. I think this is actually fully free. You can certainly download it and play some of it for free. But I'd already played the first one before. Mm. And I was just firing up to see what it looks like. They've just HD-ified it, like up-resed, upscaled everything slightly. They haven't really gone in and like redone the graphics from scratch or anything. So it's just like, look, you know, playing the game you originally played, but with touchscreen and everything. And I think you should play it. Because any of these games from them, if you liked Machinarium, if you liked Botanicula, this is where it all came from, really. This is the origins. And they're charming as hell and lots of weird sound effects. They like to make their own sound effects. So much stuff is done with mouths.
Right.
So they're the kind of people who would do footsteps going, like literally vocal foley and doing for opening a door and stuff like that. So go and give a look. It's really nice. It's good and fun. Samorost 1. Oh, did you ever play, right? You know Trials?
Yeah? Yes.
So that kind of game spawned a few other games in its wake. One of the games that came out was a game called Bike Baron. And that also was accompanied by things like the game that Hello Games made before they went and they did No Man's Sky.
Go Danger.
That's the one. So that kind of game where you're on a motorbike, you're side-scrolling, and you've got to, you know, stunt your way through a series of complex levels. Bike Baron was one of those with a big motorbike. It came out on, like, we're talking it came out on mobile, like, 2011. I went back and found, before I was on this channel, before I was on, when it was AppSpy, and then before we were even involved, like, the original reviewer had, like, a video of this, like, shot off of his, like, where he's filming a phone, your screen, the old-fashioned way. That's how old this stuff is. And now, some 10 years later, Bike Baron 2 has appeared on app stores as well. This is another premium game. A lot of good premium stuff this week. Another is kind of $7-$8 or something. It looks very similar. Not going to lie. It does look like, oh, it's Bike Baron again. Yes, the graphics are a bit prettier. The lighting effects are nice. You're going through a bunch of different environments. And they're involving, I think, a little bit more of the environmental puzzle element of it.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer? But there's more machinery to be involved with. So there are these like piston pumps going up and down that have huge, what look like landmines in them, which will crush you. There are objects that you need to move over, and then they will activate like jumps that you can springboard off of, which is obviously fairly standard. But then you've got things like you're like rolling rocks into slots so that you can then use them as platforms to jump over. So it's almost like a little bit of a platformy puzzle solving, get the thing, move it around the level, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's got more than just, you know, do a somersault and make it to the end of the level. They are trying to make it a bit more interesting. I have always liked these games. These games are great. I always liked Trial.
I'm saying I've got a lot of time for these games, say the Trial games and stuff like that. I'm absolutely in love with the cat. Have you seen this cat with these little goggles and his hat?
Oh, I see. So the cat is riding Pillion.
Yes, that's right. And he's got little goggles and a little hat, and it's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I couldn't even see that. Well, yes, welcome to the internet. They add a cat to everything.
Sold.
This is done by Cornfox and Broz. So these are the guys behind Oceanhorn.
Oh, right. Yes.
So they've been very busy, which might explain why there hasn't been a sequel for 10 years. So this started development apparently back in 2019, but they are leaning into the live stuff of it all. So you're going to have daily tournaments and challenges. There are apparently 50 tracks within the game. This is iOS only at the moment. And it is, yeah, I just checked, £6.99. It looks like we haven't played it. Really like the original, did play the original. They look like they've done a great job with it. But we'll hold back and wait till we can actually play the thing before we do a proper review. So Bike Baron 2 is the name of that one. What else? Oh, yeah. So big PC ports you were talking about, that Steam PAL thing. They've just put Divinity Original Sin 2 on iPad. I don't know if you've had a run at either of these games, the Divinity ones.
Not much experience, no. I've dabbled, but I wouldn't say I've invested a lot of time.
Okay. I always get them confused with Pillars of Eternity, which is the other like classic old school looking RPG in the Fallout 2 mold and the Planescape Torment and all of that, which I have been playing. I have not played Divinity Original Sin. This turned up on iPad about 10 days ago or so. And this one, if you like premium, £24.99, the full available on iPad Pro specifically, because this is one of those games where it's like, don't even bother trying it on a phone, and basically don't try it on anything below an iPad from maybe, I don't know, like 2019 or 2018 onwards.
For that price especially, yeah.
Yeah, so they're looking like, with a 2018 on 2020 iPad Pro, it runs at 30 FPS. It can get 60 on a 2021 iPad Pro with the M1 chip. And they are really touting this as, look, massive big iPad Pro, get out your PlayStation controller. Again, this is another one that they're touting that, yeah, you can use a DualSense. And all that stuff. So they're very, very proud of the fact that it's been put on and it's like a real game, which is fine. Like, I guess it's good that you can play everything everywhere. And I suppose this is tapping into the game pass of it all as well.
Yes.
Where we're getting more accustomed to this. So this is a direct game, but you can buy it natively. So £25. I have not played this. I have, however, watched a fairly long gameplay video showing it. It runs great. You are going to be controlling it with a control pad if you're going to be doing that. I would rather use touchscreen stuff for a game like this, because this is a point and click adventure, really. And this is the kind of thing that for me, you know, I want to play in desktop rather than console.
Yeah.
And that does work as well and apparently is good. But people are saying that they prefer playing the console controls instead of the touch. So I don't know.
You have to judge for yourself. Yeah, the only thing is, obviously, it's going to be so cheap on other platforms by this time. Do you know what I mean? It came out in 2017 yeah. on Windows. And like came out on Switch in September 2019. You know what I mean? For that price, you could probably get it cheaper on other platforms. But again, it's where you want to play it and sort of thing. And if you're happy to, go nuts.
It's all choice. And it seems that the port's been done pretty well. So if you're Pillars of Eternity, if you're a Divinity Original Sin 2 person, then you can grab that right now. iPad only and £25. Have that in your back pocket at the time. We'll leave it there. Those are quite big games. There is more to cover, but we're out of time, really. So we will be back again next week. Normal service should be resumed. We're looking into doing more stuff, especially with the podcast. It may tie into Launchpad a little bit more, so you may see some changes in the future, but we're going to keep doing things that you can listen to in some form or another going forward, so don't worry, we will be back soon. Matt, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And we will see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.